Blog Talk Radio.
We can kick it. Spot where we belong. That's just for us. You ain't gotta get all dressed up and be Hollywood. You know what I mean? Where the f*** go when we die? Ain't no heaven for a thug. That's why we go to Thug Mansion. That's the only place where thugs getting free, and you gotta be a G. At Thug Mansion. A place to spend my quiet night. Time to unwind. So much pressure in this life of mine. I cried times I once contemplated. And would have tried, but when I held that.
Your fist against a stone wall. You're not using your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Number love for you.
I know how hard it is. Being a woman, a black woman at that. In this white man's world, sometimes we overlook the fact that we can ride hard now since we won't be knowing the pain we can cause. This white man's world.
This white man's world.
I ain't saying I'm innocent at all.
All those times that I messed up, but we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews' picture. They say don't let this cruel world get you. Kinda suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's richer. Twist the cap off the bottom, I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Reading love letters, late night, locked down and quiet. Your brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Jack Mack, staring at the walls, sorry, inside this cage where they captured all my ways and bonds. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall for riches. Apologies to my true sisters, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations to do. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. So tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls, born black, in this white man's world. And all I heard was, to my homie's head, died in his vest, shot him to death and left him bleeding for his family to see. I passed his casket, gently ask him, is there heaven for Jesus? My homeboy's doing life, baby mama be stressing, shedding tears when her son finally asked that question. Where my daddy at? Mama, why we live so poor? Why you crying? Heard you late night to my bedroom door. Now do you love me, mama? Why they keep on calling me nigga? Get my weight up with my hate and pay him back when I'm bigger. It's still ducking in his jail cell. Missing my block, hearing brothers screaming all night, wishing they stopped. Proud to be black, but while we act like we don't love ourselves, so look around, but some check your sense. Know what it means to be black, whether a man or girl, we still struggling in this white man's world.
White man's world.
We must fight for brotherhood. We must fight for brotherhood.
Direction and a blink of an eye. My time away just made perfection. Cause I think I die. Not gonna cry. Why should I care? Like we holding on the lost love that's no longer there. Can you please help me? God bless me. Please keep my seeds healthy. Making all my enemies bleed while my G's wealthy. Hoping they bury me with ammunition, weed and shells. Just in case they trip in heaven. Ain't no G's in hell. Sister, sorry for the pain that I caused your heart. I know I'll change if you help me, but don't fall. Rest in peace to Lil Sasha, Lil Yummy and Kato. Too much for this cold world to take, ended up being fatal. Every woman in America, especially black, bear with me, can't you see that we under attack? I never meant to cause trauma to my sister and mama, but we make it to a better time in this white man's world.
You're out of touch with reality. A few of you in a few smoke-filled rooms.
the mainstream, while the masses of the people, white and black, red, yellow, and brown, poor and vulnerable, are suffering in this nation.
Don't let us know.
Never that.
But it's white man's world. They can't stop us. We've been here all this time. They took us out. They can never take us out. No matter what they say about us being extinct, about us being endangered species, we ain't never gonna leave this. We ain't never gonna walk off this planet. Unless y'all
choose
your brain. Choose your brain. It ain't them that's killing us. It's us that's killing us. It ain't them that's knocking us off. It's us that's knocking us off. I'm telling you, better watch it. Or be a victim. Be a victim.
The seal and the Constitution reflect the thinking of the founding fathers that this was to be a nation by white people and for white people. Native Americans, blacks, and all other non-white people were to be the burden bearers for the real citizens of this nation.
My name is Asada Shakur, and I was born and raised in the United States. I am a descendant of Africans who were kidnapped and brought to the Americas as slaves. I spent my early childhood in the racist, segregated South. I later moved to the northern part of the country, where I realized that black people were equally victimized by racism and oppression. I grew up and became a political activist, participating in student struggles, the anti-war movement, and most of all, in the movement for the liberation of African Americans in the United States. I later joined the Black Panther Party, an organization that was targeted by the COINTELPRO program, a program that was set up by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to eliminate all political opposition to the U.S. government's policies, to destroy the black liberation movement in the United States, to discredit activists, and to eliminate potential leaders. Under the COINTELPRO program, many political activists were harassed, imprisoned, murdered, or otherwise neutralized. As a result of being targeted by COINTELPRO, I, like many other young people, was faced with the threat of prison, underground, exile, or death. The FBI, with the help of local police agencies, systematically fed false accusations and fake news articles to the press, accusing me and other activists of crimes we did not commit. Although in my case the charges were eventually dropped or I was eventually acquitted, the national and local police agencies created a situation where, based on their false accusations against me, any police officer could shoot me on sight. It was not until the Freedom of Information Act was passed in the mid-70s that we began to see the scope of the United States government's persecution of political activists. At this point, I think that it is important to make one thing very clear. I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty. To make a long story short, I was captured in New Jersey in 1973 after being shot with both arms held in the air and then shot again from the back. I was left on the ground to die, and when I did not, I was taken to a local hospital where I was threatened, beaten, and tortured. In 1977, I was convicted in a trial that can only be described as a legal lynching. In 1979, I was able to escape with the aid of some of my fellow comrades. I saw this as a necessary step, not only because I was innocent of the charges against me, but because I knew that the racist legal system in the United States, I would receive no justice. I was also afraid that I would be murdered in prison. I later arrived in Cuba, where I am currently living in exile as a political refugee. The New Jersey State Police and other law enforcement officials say they want to see me brought to justice. But I would like to know what they mean by justice. Is torture justice? I was kept in solitary confinement for more than 2 years, mostly in men's prisons. Is that justice? My lawyers were threatened with imprisonment.
I just want to spend a minute talking about a couple of the, you know, some of the parallels between mass incarceration and Jim Crow, and then, you know, end it. Once I get started talking here, I can go. But consider some of the rules and laws that apply to those labeled felons today, and ask yourself if they remind you of a bygone era. Denial of the right to vote, right? 48 states and the District of Columbia denied prisoners the right to vote. Now, mind you, that's not the case in other Western democracies. You know, in fact, in other countries, there are often voting campaigns within prisons. There's voting drives within prisons. In other democracies, you don't forfeit your citizenship when you go to prison. You're still a person. You're still a citizen. You're still part of that country, even if you're in prison. You get to vote. In the United States, nearly every state denies prisoners the right to vote, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because then once you're released, you can be denied the right to vote for a period of years, maybe until your probation or parole expires, or for the rest of your life. It's up to the individual state. And nationwide, about 1 in 8 black men are either temporarily or permanently disenfranchised as a result of felon disenfranchisement laws. Exclusion from jury service. You know, one hallmark of the Jim Crow era, of course, was all-white juries, you know, particularly in the South. Well, these all-white juries have had a roaring comeback in recent years. Why? Well, in part because anyone convicted of a felony is considered automatically ineligible for jury service. Automatically ineligible for jury service. And then, get this. If you've ever had a negative experience with law enforcement, you can be struck from a jury for cause. You know, prosecutors able to persuade the judge that that negative experience that you have in law enforcement might bias your judgment in a criminal case. Now, good luck finding many African Americans, particularly of Portuguese of color, who have not yet had a negative experience with law enforcement that conceivably biased them in a criminal case. So even in some areas with relatively large black populations, you see all-white or nearly all-white
jury. Today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution, degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our communities. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap. Him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world has gotta try to come up with a quick decision. They claim we threats to society, and now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip Spice warned that Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks don't get to get. So why you trying to kick some dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas, but they fucked up. And we were always considered evil. Now they're trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's peep the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That's freaks worse than PG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
So now they trying separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation. Tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver man. While listening to Brad, David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chest kit, a casket. A nigga got his ass kicked, shot in the face by a cop, closed casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got, they wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't dig me, then nigga you can sue, because the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man Gotti, so you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
To free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with Detroit up top. I feel my hot rocks. Bang bang, boom boom, ping ping. I'm the black white boys got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I do Muhammad. Dewey got a brother, I'm McNeil. I'm the illest. Wanna kill this house nigga Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil, dick, scared of revolution. Need to start douching. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face, but I bust two times to the guts. Do the Reverend Calvin bust. Got a pair of nuts. I started this gangsta shit in 86. Now you're dissing me for publicity. Isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot. And I can't stop, won't stop. So fuck Bill and Hillary. Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping it on these sellout ass niggas. Doing it like,
nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
My mother, my father, sisters, my brother, Jonathan. They were intended to familiarize them with the situation I was faced with here. Of course, here in prison, we see the repression, the exploitation, the victimization of lower class.
In 61, Jackson was 19 years old, and he received the indeterminate sentence of 1 year to life.
Well, I was incarcerated under a one to life, a term that calls for a one to life, where I could have done 1 year and been released. I've done 10. That's more time than anybody in this state has ever done on a one to life. I went through all the processes. I tried to get out. I went to school, program. But now on the side, I was studying things that I felt would help the community.
Those on the right saw him as the most powerful threat in the prison system.
I think racism is a control device, a control mechanism, create an atmosphere whereby they can control inmates. Control inmates. Black is just a continuation.
He was the true revolutionary, the black communist guerrilla in the highest state of development.
I'd be the last one to say that Johnson had suicide in mind. I'm certain that Johnson felt that the police would have some concern, would give some concern to the lives of those five civilians. I'm thinking that Johnson was trying to demonstrate to the public, to the people, just how he felt that these problems should be solved.
Was the incident for which you're charged now, was it a revolutionary act on your part?
You asking me to confess to something?
Yeah. Unless happened. You want to, did you kill a man?
Look, one of the most important elements of guerrilla warfare is to maintain secrecy. I've killed nobody until it's been proven. And they'll never be able to prove it.
Know what I mean? It's war. Know what I mean? Yo, stick. I mean, shit be real on
war.
The block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. When you through the system for your prince, that's war. When they call my little drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gat battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it Kits versus Beans, a B versus Ho? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DP, don't you forget. Cause you can talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop your top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all goes down. It's not pop versus big, it's who's getting the power. The power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people's station, that's war. Know what I mean? Yeah, rap war, whatever war, you live a fast life, more or less, more so, it's still war. Dead prayers, the people radio, yeah. Get down, get down, get down, RBGZ, biatch.
You are now listening to WRBG, the people's radio. It's a takeover, not a make.
Look at Grinch with some stupid bell bottom pants, man.
Your Word. Shoes, man. They make you look like a fool.
Word!
Why, you dive turkeys, I'll knock you through Sunday and be waiting for you on Monday. You're too young to have seen the sights of Esther Mammy and Pappy about Dolomite.
Planet Earth was my place of birth, born to be the sole controller of the universe. Besides a part of the map, I hit first. Any environment I can adapt. When it gets worse, the rough gets going, the going gets rough. When I start blowing the mic, mic bust. The next day to shake from the power I generate. People in Cali used to think it was earthquakes. Cause times is hard on the boulevard, so I fold guard and never get scarred. I'm scarred, but it seems like I'm locked in hell. Looking over the edge, but the R never fell. A trip to slip, cause my knife got grip. Stand on my own 2 feet and come equipped. Any stage I'm seen on, a mic I fiend on. I stand alone and need nothing to lean on. Going for self with a long way to go. So much to say, but I still flow slow. I come correct and I won't look back. Cause it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Even
remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary, and you're gonna have to keep on saying that.
Google out to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the pastors are doing. That's what the pastors are doing all over the world.
Fred.
Black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People, weekly Tuesday night radio show with your host, People's Political Party, National Chair, Nat Turner, co-host, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, myself, and our engineers on the ones and twos, Sister Amina, National Minister of Communication, calling each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to be a part of tonight's conversation. Tonight's topic, the state of things. We're going to open up our phone lines to our national chair, our comrade, Nat Turner. Yuhuru, comrade, Black Power. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yuhuru, Black Power. Right on. You hear me, brother?
Yes, sir. Yeah, right, Black Power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. We, you know, the state of things. Just like a rundown on the, where we as so-called black people in this country, like where we're at here, all this shit that's taking place, you know, from here to other parts of the world, you know, just going forward, man, there's these strategic moves that are being made. You know, by, you know, certain forces and whatnot. You know, a lot of times, you know, we don't think that some things that are taking place don't, it's like disconnected from us. And of course, that has to do with the lack of political awareness or political understanding. You know, from the cash register, you know, to entertainment, sports. This so-called democracy shit, you know, the U.S. and its imperialist agenda around the world, the depopulation program under various operations that are projected as legitimate, you know, the war on terror, who, you know, gets labeled as a terrorist, you know, this upcoming presidential election, you know. One of the things I wanted to start off with was this this drone strike, you know. And again, you know, some of us could be like, we could, you know, care less. I mean, it's, you know, shit ain't relevant. You know, we're trying to get money. You know what I'm saying? We want to pay the case, you know, and whatnot. But there's a bigger picture, a larger scope. And that's, you know, it's a psychological thing. You know, you can go online, of course, you know, see the electronic, you know, news propaganda machines. The media, to our understanding, is just an arm of the state. You know, what we mean by the state is the, you know, the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police. And if you take the politician and the businessman and combine them, what some know as corporatism, by definition, that is fascism. You know, fascism is just that. And, you know, during World War II, you know, the state labeled, you know, the Italian leader Mussolini as a fascist, you know. That, you know, he was a fascist and he abused, you know, his people. Whatnot, they had become part of the axis of evil, you know, with Germany, Japan, in Italy, you know, and Allied forces was Russia, Britain, and America. And little do our people understand this type of chess game that's being played, you know, on this chessboard. There's a book that was published years ago. It's called The Grand Chessboard. And in this book, you know, there's these political objectives, goals. You know, sort of like, you know, you can say theorize and like kind of thing, but it's just from somebody who had been in involved, you know, in that type of shit. And their motive and goal, of course, is the advancement of the American agenda, you know, as an empire. But what I'm saying is that, you know, we stopped playing checkers a long time ago, and some of us are still playing checkers, and they're playing chess. Of course, every group has its leaders, but those who have been presented to them, as such. But if you look at, you know, the playing field, you know, right after the war, you know, you see this switch. You know, that the Japanese was on one side with the Germans, and the Russians was over with America. And after the war, all of a sudden, the Russians is the bad guys. You know, the Russians is the boogeyman. You know, and how could that be? Well, when they were just side by side with them in the trenches or on the battlefield, as allies fighting against the evil Hitler, you know, who exterminated 6 million white people who defined themselves as Jews or Jewish, you know, a small minority of whites who have taken hold of a monopoly on a specific type of practice or so-called religious faith or whatever, right? But, you know, the Russians were seen as, you know, now they're this menace, this threat, and they just bombed the hell out of Japan, you know. And then, you know, about, 20-something years later, close to 30 years later, and all of a sudden the Japanese are the Americans' friends, their buddies. And it seems like they swapped, you know, sides. And the Japanese became their partners in what is referred to as the Trilateral Commission, which was started around 1973 by the same individual who wrote the book Grand Chessboard. His name is a Russian name, to my understanding. It's a big new Brzezinski. And if you turn your television on early morning, you know, these early morning shows at NBC and, you know, ABC, whatever, CBS, behavior, early morning entertainment shows and shit. But there's a MSNBC, I think, is on that channel, and that station. I haven't seen it in a long time, but if you turn, you know, it on, is a show called The Morning Joe, and you see this white boy and this white girl sitting up there, you know, entertaining, you know, with news and all the shit. Well, the white girl name is Mika Brzezinski, and that's her husband, dude Joe. I forget his last name, but the husband and wife tandem. So Mika Brzezinski is the daughter of the big new Brzezinski. And to show you the connections, how he put people in place, you know, set them strategically within the media to push and keep their agenda alive and to sell the American people this Alice in Wonderland fictitious fairy tale about democracy, you know, And all the while, it had been no different than Mussolini. And Mussolini had said the only difference between us and the Americans is that the Americans was good at disguising their shit, and we ain't disguising nothing. Yes, we are fascists. So if you take a look at it, you see the corporations, you know, had gotten themselves in a position. And this is exactly what you see today. The corporations have gotten themselves in a position the same way they had gotten themselves in a position during Mussolini's time. And there's a combination of that in government. You can't really function in this country without the corporation having its hand in shit some kind of way, shape, or form, one way or another. And in the 60s, now, you know, we had this thing we was trying to deal with these direct and immediate issues being faced with the white lynch mob, the Klan, and segregation, and Governor Wallace and all this kind of shit, you know, and the leadership had us on some civil rights trip. And that civil rights, could, you know, was just no more than just a part of the, you know, the game, so much so that Martin Luther King, and we had did a, you know, a thing, Martin Luther King recently, you know, as a result of this Martin Luther King holiday thing. But I'll say this again, for those who never heard of, those not familiar with it, and you have these conversations with the actor Harry Belafonte, you know, who was a big-time actor back then, you know, like Samuel Jackson is today, Morgan Freeman and Denzel Washington are today. Well, during that, during the 60s, the 50s and the 60s, Harry Belafonte was the man then. And he had developed a relationship with Dr. King. And it got to the point in the latter stages of Dr. King's life, it would appear that he would confide in Harry Belafonte, you know. And it didn't seem too good or too well, or this one particular conversation or whatever. He had said, according to Harry Belafonte, he believed he led his people to a burning building of integration. And you did this with something like they call the anti-war speech or his Vietnam speech and whatnot. And you, I don't know if this is the same part of the speech, but at another point, there's another thing that he speaks about. He talks about capitalism and socialism. And he said that they give the masses capitalism while they practice socialism among themselves as the rich. Now, who could understand that? You know, it would be rather confusing, you know, considering the historical image that has been painted by the capitalists about socialism, you know, communism, you know, the Russians, you know, they were the shining example of socialism, communism, how Stalin had you know, responsible for all these millions and millions of debts, you know. But it's a reason why he said that. And it's no different, again, than what Mussolini was saying. You know, where he talked about the corporation and the government as a combined force. And as, you know, like say, you know, this term corporatism, I've even seen or heard what they refer to it as a plutocracy. And of course, a plutocracy is the root of that word. Plutocracy is the planet Pluto, which of course is the smallest planet out of the so-called nine planets, right? So they're trying to tell you that a small handful of rich old men, old white men, you know, who have planted the seeds of destruction for everybody else. And have created a paradise for themselves at the expense of the common masses of the people. And within that, you have to deal with racism as black people, as well as classism. And it has gotten to the point where Malcolm X has talked about the case of the chickens coming home the roost, or the shit done hit the fan, so to speak. And we've heard those phrases before, and we know that don't sound too good, that's not a good thing. You know, we know that it's not a good thing. So the swapping around of these alignments and stuff, you know, was because, you know, it was a Hegelian style tactics and even, you know, the head of the at the time, what would have been the OSS and the head, you know, where they had this shit, you know, they give these positions out as a director of this and director of that. Well, this white boy named Alan Dulles, those of you who been to New York on the plane and you land at Dulles Airport, I believe that is the Dulles that it was two Dulles brothers, but that Dulles Airport is named after him. And it got to the point where he had went back to his buddies and told them that they were fighting on the wrong side. And he told them that they'd been fighting on the wrong side. So if they had been fighting on the wrong side, then they should have been fighting with the Germans and the Japanese. And that, and the Russians should have been the enemy, should have been on the other side. You know, and then in the midst of that, after that war, was the cementing of what you see today, the beginning of the end of the day, and what you see today now is Gaza, you know, the West Bank, you know, this Israeli settlement or setting up this Israel, state of Israel for the little small minority of whites, you know, who declare this thing about Judaism. And that is where it's at today. Those who had been ripped off, who was a natural response to defend their land from being snatched from them. And the descendants are now called the terrorists under various names. And for some reason, you know, this same European Brzezinski, his name keeps popping up. They had gotten to the point, you know, this shit about the Cold War and all of these things in the midst of it and caught in the middle of it, you know, between Russia and America was Africa. You know, Africa was caught in the middle of it. You know, the carving up of Africa by the two camps or the eyes on the prize, so to speak, you know. And that was the beginning of what we see here today, where black people appear to be caught up in this shit again. And this thing that's going on right now, you turn your television on, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, or whatever, even Fox appears to be the political adversary or enemy of CNN and so forth, and they're playing this game, you know, these Machiavellian or Hegelian style games, you know, and black people being caught in the middle of this shit. So, as I said, you know, the establishment of the State of Israel under some shit called the Balfour Declaration, named after some white man who called himself Lord Balfour. You know, the same Lord that people speak, you know, when they talk about what we know as God. You know, you hear the old folks saying, you know, the Lord this, the Lord that, you know, and so forth. You know, the Lord knows, you know, things that men do in the dark, you know, whatever, you know. And that word has been cemented or placed in the Bible, you know, in all caps, you know, the Lord, you know, and this is a title that these rich white men in Western Europe and Great Britain used to refer to themselves because they lorded older people. You know, they have tremendous wealth. And of course, you know, they've set up a banking system that is designed to keep people in debt, to keep people forever beholden to them, and to be threatened with eviction, to be threatened even with homelessness, to be threatened with confiscation, and so forth, placing people in these predicaments where they even become desperate. And then they turn to ulterior means of getting money, which is what they refer to as illegal forms of money getting, while at the same time the bankers are also getting money from the same illegal form of hustling that they tell you is against the law. And so you see the bankers laundering money. You know, they're, liquid cash, you know, by the sack loads, by the satchel, and how they do it. Like the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, that exists in China, on one level, the Chinese are seen as the new Russia, and the only reason why, or pretty much the reason why, is because the Chinese have outstripped America as the largest economy or whatever, and America is taking the back seat. And, people in America have gotten so stuck on themselves, they've gotten so high on themselves that they become blind to the real shit, to the real world. And they can't see anything but themselves and everybody else. So another book that comes to mind, as I said, is called The Clash of Civilizations, right? Written by Samuel P. Huntington. This is another one of the old white men, that they, some in certain circles refer to as the four horsemen, the old four white men who actually is the brain trust of the white ruling class establishment and the white capitalist political machine and its imperial agenda for the rest of the world. Brzezinski, Huntington is two. The other two is the old white Jew named Henry Kissinger, who recently kicked the bucket. And some would say that's one less demon or one less devil that we have to deal with. But he lived his life, almost 100 years. He lived his life. And the other old white man named David Rockefeller had lived his life and had been instrumental in a lot of the things that had taken place for the past maybe 60 years, probably, 70 or 60 years. And it was been behind the setting up of these same function, functionary organizations or groups, such as the Trilateral Commission, and how to establish that to become friends with Japan, because after the war, Japan had increased its technology, its technological prowess, and they had grown tremendously in science and had begun to outstrip America when it came to that. And so the Japanese were saying that there won't be another Hiroshima or Nagasaki unless there's a Los Angeles or New York. I mean, California or New York. And so this is the reason why they begin to make the decision to embrace the Japanese. And so now you see what the Japanese is, the Eastern sort of wing, of the white imperial capitalist. And what you see there, you see the Japanese lining up on the side of the so-called West, and the Chinese lining up with Russia, as you see was, this Russian-Ukraine war, which is, there's been a whiteout on the war now. There's been a whiteout on the war because the average news agency the CEO is a white Jew. And so they have total access to media time. They don't have to beg anybody, go and brown nose to anybody to get on anybody's news media platform, because they the owners, the proprietors, the CEO of the major news organs and networks. And so their story can be told 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, you see. And so it's been this focus on Israel and Palestine, Israel and Palestine. And so in the country, what you see these demonstrations around America, these pro-Palestinian protests and whatnot, and there's been, you know, of course, you know, the white Jews are going to get out there in New York and they're going to, you know, protest and they're going to be pro-Israeli and whatnot. And where does that leave black people? You know, what angle or what side should black people take? Because people lining up, people are lining themselves. This coming election with Trump. Trump ain't going anywhere. Trump and Biden ain't really different from each other. If you look at both of them's portfolio, and this is the trip with Hunter Biden, you know, Biden's son, and his political wranglings with the Russians and Putin. You know, they try to beat you over the head with this relationship about Trump and Putin, how the Russians interfered and how the Russians got Trump elected. This is astonishing shit, you know. And if that's the case, then how could this be a democracy if some white boy on the other side of the planet was instrumental or did some type of intelligence and got Trump elected? Then what does that say about democracy? Then what does that say about those who did all that voting in the first place? You know, all the Negro intellectuals and even some black petty bourgeoisie figures who busy telling black people to rock the vote or die, you know, telling black people that, you know, if people died for your right to vote, young man, people died for your right to vote, young sister, and it would be a travesty if you didn't vote. And I'll tell a young brother and young sister to ask them to name them five. To name them five who died for their right to vote. Name five, if they can. You know, and so what I'm saying is it becomes a class issue. You know, we've been terribly misguided. We've been terribly misguided. We've been terribly confused. There are those who even are amiss who understand a lot of this shit that I'm saying, but not all of it. They understand the Hegelian strategy, the Machiavellian tactic, you know, the boogeyman theory to get people to lean this way and give up their so-called civil liberties for all of this science and technology and having a smart house, smartphone, you know, and so forth. You know, people are being held hostage with their phones. You know, they know that a mother constantly need to be in contact with her teenage son. You know, and a father need to be in constant contact with his teenage daughter, and so forth. You know, where they even made the phone their own monopoly. You just in possession of the phone. If it was your phone, you would be able to take your battery out like you used to. And the minute they started doing that was the minute that they came out in the open and told you that this is what it is. You know, that this is what it is. You know, and we take these things for granted. And some of us gonna take them for granted until the ceiling cave in. And I can't make this up. You know, you look at the economy, you see these crises, these periodic crises that the capitalists, how should I say it, that are inevitable. You know, these crises that are inevitable. So that means the next one is right around the corner and it's actually in effect now. You know, more and more people are growing disenchanted, you know, with at the gas pump, at the cash register. You know, you go to these markets and try to buy a pound of meat, you know, a pack of turkey or whatever, you know, Oscar Mayer, you know, the shit's going through the roof. And they're setting this up. you know, to where only a few, you know, can be able to be all right. And so what does it do? It creates a backlash from a whole another ocean people. And of course, nothing affects people any more than black people, who was supposed to be a minority in this country, you know. And the trickle down effect of that, which in my view, and I don't say this loosely, and I don't say this out of some type of thing to impress black women. I say this because I've taken a good look, and you know, the ancestors, they bless us, they be with us. Sometimes we don't even be knowing it until something happens, and then we realize that we lucked out, you know, and so forth. No, you just didn't know it. But what I'm saying is the trickle-down effect has a huge, tremendous impact on black women. You know, now you look in these commercials, these high-tech, these very subtle, sublime commercials, you know, like the one, and we look at the commercial because we be so, you know, they'll put babies in the commercial, and we be so touched by the little cute little boy and the little cute little girl, and, you know, just, you know, our hearts filled with glee. You know, we think that's a funny commercial. But no, that's bullshit. You see the one where they take the little black baby boy and the little white baby girl and have them at their wedding reception. You know, that's by design. Somebody sat there and they planned that on purpose. They planned that. What you think that's all about? That's what you call prior conditioning, meaning somebody is conditioning your child, your baby boy, your baby girl. They're conditioning them for the future. Black males won't see black girls. They won't see teenage girls and young so-called legal women, 21 and up. And then later on, you know, that's by design. That's by design. So who's speaking out against it? Who's raising a voice, you know, in the mainstream world? You know, that's by design. And it's so subtle, you know, and it's like, you know, shit. You see some of these brothers, you know, they've been in the military. Been, you know, these different places, Pan and China. Motherfuckers done been to Thailand. You know, they got these dudes now on YouTube, got their own little channel and whatnot. And you know, they got them some Thailand girlfriend, you know, in Thailand. And I'm looking at this shit, and I see these pitiful niggas on the comment section. And you ought to read some of the pitiful comments that they're making, you know, about black women and how the girl in the video, she, you know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing to see that kind of shit. But they fools and they casualties, you know, they casualties. I'll say this for the rest of my life from day one I started to learn how to say it, that there's nothing like black men, women when it comes to black men. I don't give a shit what nobody say. History proves that. You know, all the way back to the ancient pharaohs in Kemet. You know, black women as the best thing for black men. Of course, I understand that when you put two different groups of people in the same environment, yeah, there's going to be some so-called miscegenation. But some of that shit is artificial. And it's because these niggas is white men in black skin. There's like Fanon said, Franz Fanon, you know, who wrote about this type of psychology. And the interesting part about that, somebody made a comment and say, well, yeah, but Fanon had a white woman too. You know, yes, he did. You know, yes, he did. But he has a book called Black Skin, White Man, and he's literally. I was trying to figure out, you know, how does one get such an incredible understanding? You know, some people say, you know, he's God sent. You know, some people say that about Malcolm X, but the type of mind that he had that had an effect on thousands of people, you know. But you know, this is the state of things. You know, the threat of white supremacy on black women. You know, it ain't like, you know, the shit ain't been, the deck ain't been stacked up anyway, you know. And I try to tell people, you know, black women have to deal with racism, classism, and sexism, you know. And it is a time where black women's issues or concerns are seen or become invisible. You know, become invisible. I'm trying to think of her name. Jill Scott. Remember the little guy, Don Lemon, who CNN got rid of, and he was absolutely shocked. And I can only imagine how militant he done became now, you know. But anyway, he had his little show. One particular time, he had Jill Scott on there. And Jill Scott, I guess that was her coming out party. But, you know, really, in her, you listen to her music. She has a song that You're Nothing Without Me. A brilliant song. Brilliant fucking song. But she said it on his little program. How black men are turning their backs on black women, you know? And that is a travesty. That is a travesty. But I say this here, let them niggas keep going. You know, let them keep going. You know, that those of us who are, you know, politically conscious, you know, We got it, you know. We understand it. And of course, those of us whose name is in some on some list somewhere, you know, within the circles of the those who, you know, protect American security, whatever they want to call that shit, how they whipped up the Homeland Security and Patriot Act 1 and 2 and all this kind of shit, you know, after this planned 9/11 orchestrated thing. You know, if you go check YouTube now, you know, there are many videos. Those who have critiqued the 9/11 thing, all the holes and all the discrepancies, you know, it's been wiped clean almost. You know, it's been wiped clean. And as a matter of fact, there's these series of gatherings, and I think you know, some of these gatherings, you know were conducted in Europe, you know, but to this day, you know, at present, there's these gatherings again, you know, these investigators And I'm talking about, you know, people who went to school and took up physics and shit, you know, they know the laws, you know, I've got a PhD in physics, you know, and whatnot, you know, chemistry and all this kind of stuff, right? Some of them, ex-military, understand intelligence and CIA and Pentagon type stuff and all types of shit. They're these gatherings. And they're doing these presentations, you know, from Wall Street, you know, to the White House, what we refer to as the crack house, you know. But, that puts so many things on the table. You sure that have become unchallengeable. And it's been what? How long since so-called 9/11? And one of those is a sister named Cynthia McKinney. And this is the same Cynthia McKinney that when they were conducting these Senate, you know, committee hearings and all this kind of shit, and they were trying to actually talk about some of it. And she was like one of the ringleaders. You know, she had gotten, I think it was Cheney, Rumsfeld, you know, and another one of these white figureheads. And she was grilling them on these discrepancies and whatnot. And this is what led to her political downfall. You know, this is why she was state rep from Georgia, you know, and very brave, you know. And the thing that triggered this thing in her now is when she said she had come across this, you know, COINTELPRO thing, you know, with J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI and the Black Panther, you know. So it was a trigger. It was something that moved her. So she understands it very clear. She went to Iran. She visited Iran. I think she visited Iraq, you know, and comes back with a different picture, with a different portrait than what you see in the corporate control fascist media, you know, labeling the nine white groups that won't align themselves with the capitalist ambition, or the fact that they're sitting on what's called a part of the Great Eurasian Clique. And that in this book, The Grand Chessboard, which is what it's about, you know, who can rule or dominate or become the king of the Eurasian Clique and the shit about Russia and heading east. And the only reason why, in case you want to know what this Ukraine-Russia thing is pretty much about, is that the Russians got the oil, you know, and that they have been supplying NATO, you know, the European Union countries with the oil. And they encroaching on the Russians' doorstep as a pretext to, you know, to capture Russia, you know, because they know the jig is up on the rest of that shit they've been doing, the continuing constant historical rape of Africa, in particularly the Congo, you know, which is where they have, you know, gotten or is the source of their uranium. And of course, what do you need uranium for? You know, to make weapons of mass destruction. And how the Iranians have gotten themselves into a position to level the playing field the same way that Rocket Man, as Trump called him, the leader of the North Koreans, have gotten themselves in a position to level the playing field. In Russia, of course, the return of Russia, after the systemic breakup of what they call the USSR, the United Soviet Socialist Republics. Now, for those of you who don't know, this is supposed to be a republic. You know, and what is democracy? Democracy just simply means that, oh, you got the right to vote. And that is it. And people go for that. People go for that shit. You don't choose the chairman of the Fed. How come you don't vote for the chairman of the Fed? No, that's handpicked. And these forces behind shit. But motherfuckers is lining up. And black people can give up all that shit about we Americans. You know, your nationality, as much as I hate to say it, is because of a geographical name of a region. But your existence has nothing to do with that. Your position has nothing to do with it. And they got a small segment of us who is willing to try to serve or satisfy two masters. You know, they're willing to try to fit in two masters. You know, Jesus and the capitalists. You know? And it is amazing. You know, display of, make believe, you know, to pretend, you know. It's some amazing shit, you know. And this genocide, you know, in Gaza is no more, no less than part of the depopulation program on the part of the white capitalists, you know, and their agenda to shrink the so-called planet, the people of this planet. And when you take a look at it, who are they talking about? They're talking about the non-whites, because the whites have been experiencing what they call zero growth population, meaning for every 100 whites that die, or let me put it like this, for every 100 white babies that are being born, 100 whites is dying. You see, so they have to speed up our destruction. They have to speed up our debt numbers. And none of this shit is coincidence when you look at the postnatal or post-birth deaths of black women after they, you know, delivered babies. You know, this discrepancy here, you know. But that is no more, no less than that. You know, in a very sophisticated way, and use Hamas as a limitless springboard. Their numbers are approaching 30,000. You know, 30,000, and it ain't been but a few months since they so-called been at war with Hamas. And the strategies, the tactics that they're using, like this they're showing this footage of some infiltration of one of the hospitals where the Israeli terrorists come in disguised as doctors and patients and whatnot, you know, to go into this hospital. They're doing that to cover their ass for future reference, because the so-called country of South Africa, Southern Africa, has pressed charges against Israel of crimes of genocide under the so-called UN protocols. You know, they only wrote that shit up for the non-whites. That don't apply to the white European fashion of the UN which is no more, no less than camouflage. You know, it's no more, no less than camouflage. It's that feel-good shit. You know, it's that type of rhetoric with, you know, it makes a nation like Rwanda or Rwanda, like the brothers say, feel like they belong. Oh, we've been recognized by the United States. You know, we've been recognized. This is an amazing display. What makes you think that a handful of honkies, that a handful of honkies, and by the way, a honky is no more, no less than the white man who preys on black women. That's where the word came from. Okay, but what makes you think that they get together after carving up the earth amongst themselves and then start some shit called the League of Nations and then rewrite it so the Americans could be satisfied and call it the United Nations and make you think that they're going to give some Africans some power? Who control all the veto power? You know, it's amazing. But the point is that you can use it as a platform to expose the state for what it is. You know, international platforms to politicize people around the world. And this is what people like Gaddafi used to do, Hugo Chavez used to do. Whenever Gaddafi used to speak, and Ahmadinejad, Iran's former president, whenever Ahmadinejad, Gaddafi and Chavez spoke, get this, whenever they spoke, the American delegation got up and walked out. Used to walk out. Now ask yourself why. You know, and so this latest thing that you see there ain't nothing but a pretext for a larger operation. They're using a reverse style type psychology. They're actually trying to create an atmosphere where the American people become like them, you know, because the old belief about you know, when the populace agrees, or you know, the populace is on side of the president, or is 85% of the populace supports the president and urging him on to go to war. You know, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to build that type of shit by reversing it. And so you see this filthy pig speaking as Biden's press secretary. This filthy pig. What does he say? Oh, we're not trying to start a war with Iran. We're not looking for any war. We don't want a war with Iran. No, he's reversing it. He's reversing the shit around. So what happened? Oh, boom, a drone striking Jordan. And who does it kill? 3 young black people. So what do? They show their picture, and they're going to keep showing it and keep showing it and keep showing it. And keep. Now, what is that designed to do? Ask yourself. That is the same thing as when, you know, they get somebody black to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. Or they get somebody black to perform at halftime at the Super Bowl. Who they got this year? Usher Raymond. That's the same psychological war, the same form of psychology, psychological warfare, was called a psyop. So it's designed to have an effect. Now the black people can hate the Arabs, Muslims, and the terrorists just as much as the white people do. See, what it does, it builds this thing to where now, all the Americans are on board. We just need the niggas to be on board. Because after all, we've been treating them like shit. You know, our first line of defense, the Black Panther Party called the pigs, have been murdering some of them. And so they got to do what? They got to rebuild this image in the minds of the black unsuspecting psyche. So you can imagine how many black people have seen those pictures of those three young people and now have venom for the Arabs too. You see that? Because perception says what? By perception, black people are the side of the Palestinians. Black people have been going to the little rallies or have been support of those protests in favor of the Palestinians from the streets to the college campus. There's even some black organizations or groups that have taken that position. You know, Free Guys, anti-Israeli imperialist slogans and so forth, you know. And so that is what that's designed to do. And, of course, I will be a fool to believe anything that the devil says or he puts out there. And this is the amazing part. They are educated black people who are well-versed even in scripture. And will be quick to tell the uneducated about how the devil operates, who he is, what type of shyster he is. He's an evil genius. You know, he'll befriend you and have you thinking he your friend and whatnot, you know, and lure you to sleep, you know, and have you rolling with him. And now they're struggling trying to see that whether or not it's him that's doing it or not. Now they're struggling. You know, now all of a sudden they can't tell their ass from a hole in the ground. You know? So that's what they're designed to do. They put those young people in harm's way. And one of the little young sisters, to my understanding, you know, she used to, run errands for, you know, elderly people or those who had disabilities. So she was already doing humanitarian work, you know, in her community. And now she's lost her life. That they build in the minds of young people, oh, you have an opportunity to, you know, to get out and see other parts of the world and travel and enjoy. Enjoy what? That's how it works. That's how it works. That's how that shit works. You know?
You're who, Roach?
That's how it works. You know what we got, Conrad?
Nah, I just wanted to add that, you know, I find that our job as revolutionaries is to, you dig, up the ante and allow the people to see the contradiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Contradiction, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
these same people,
right, a couple of weeks ago were just talking about how, you know, America and so-called Israel is creating genocide against the Palestinians, right? And
mm-hmm.
then since yesterday, those same people who were saying about genocide and they killing innocent people want to go because of, you know, the three American soldiers
mm-hmm.
was killed.
Yeah.
But these same people were just saying, you know, we need to watch out for the innocent and all this shit, yeah. But now y'all ready to go up in there and just kill every fucking body.
Yeah, they ain't trying to hear it, man.
I just wanted to add that, you know, it just somehow it should be what's good for the goose don't be good for the gander. You know, y'all can do it or y'all can't do it, but if it's us, you know, we can do whatever the fuck we want to do. But y'all can't do it, though.
That's right. And there you go. Right, man, that's right on time, Conrad, right on. Yuhuru, straight. And there you go. It's a good observation. And it's no more, no less than the strategies that they used before. You know, they had some shit, was Operation Something Operation Something Woods or something like that, right? Where they use radio, where they use radio and they stage the whole goddamn gunboat attack. You know, they staged the whole gunboat attack and to get America into the, I believe it was the Vietnam War or something, Operation Northwoods, you know, where they staged these attacks, where they wanted to blow up a plane and say that the Cubans did it. You know, they sailed a ocean liner right out into the water where they knew the German U-boats was and submarines was. You know, the Lusitania. And the Germans blew it up. You know, the Germans put out, took out ads in the national newspaper. Hey, don't sell your shit this way. You can go that way, but not this way. And what did they do? Sell the Lusitania right out there. Even attack on Pearl Harbor. One minute they claim they done broke the Japanese code, then the next minute they shortage, you know. It's the same thing they pulled on 9/11. The same shit, the same strategy. That's what's called PNAC, Project for New American Century. It's right in there. I can't make this up. Don't take my word. Get you a copy of the Project for a New American Century and read what Bush and Cheney and all these other pigs, Richard Pearl and all these people, James Baker, the James Baker Institute at the University of Stanford or something, where they focus on, where they study energy consumption. And what conclusion did they draw? Oh, we need those countries in what they call the Middle East. That's why they call it the Middle East. Oh, we need the Middle East. At the rate we're going, we got to have it by any means. So what did they say? Okay, well, how are we going to do it? Well, shit, let's find a way to start a war, like a new Pearl Harbor. That's what they call it. I can't make this up. Get what's called the Project for a New American Century. It's in that document. They're literally discussing how to go after it. Shit, start a war. Well, how are we going to do this? Oh, well, shit, blow something up. Attack something. And that's exactly what 9/11 was about. Contrary to all of these people who claim they study this, that 9/11 report is bullshit. It's bullshit. And you know the crazy part though? Now, there are some people who actually, you know, they believe that. I mean, they know wholeheartedly. And then there's those who got to pretend that the book is the final conclusion on what actually happened, or it was a pancake effect structure when it gave out and that caught. They got people that literally believe in that shit. There's even a video. They go get this Indian dude, right? They went and got an Indian dude to try to explain the shit. Then some well-meaning white boy who knows physics and who knows demolitions literally contradicts him. I mean, to his face. And then he goes back and he tweaks the conclusion some. He tweaks it. And it's an extraordinary thing to see. You know? And yet, you know, you see white people always carrying on about they the smartest motherfuckers, you know, or they the leading country, and some Negroes, you know, their little black, brown, red, and yellow little flunkies too, you know, be right along with them. I remember that when I was in high school, even when I was, you know, even before high school, in the eighth grade, you know? All with it. Oh, the smartest people, the Americans are the smartest. The American people are the most, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But look what they did in France. Look what they did in Greece. They wasn't having that shit. So what's the problem here? What's the problem? It's some amazing shit. But that's what that's designed to do. You know, it's designed to lobotomize your brain. As it is said in the movie Total Recall, you've been lobotomized. And this upcoming presidential election. You know, you see people, shit, well, damn. Damn if I do, damn if I don't. And they're taking these polls and stuff. And there ain't no telling where they take these polls, because you can make a poll. You can make a poll out to be whatever you want them. You can take statistics and do whatever you want with the statistics. Oh, 47% of the American people. Yeah, where at? You can take polls all day. You can take polls in white suburban America. You can take polls in the goddamn so-called ghetto. You think they're going to be the same? No. So all of that. And just look at this whole thing. Here you see this classic Hegelian strategy. And I laugh. I couldn't do nothing but laugh when I seen them Europeans announce that DeSantis just dropped out unexpectedly. And he putting his support behind who? Trump. You spent the whole Biden presidency talking about who like a dog? Trump. And what did Trump do in return? He renamed this and took his last name and respelled that bitch and called them De Sanctimonious. And that's all you saw in the news. And you see white people lining up behind DeSantis. Yeah, you right. Trump is the bad guy. He's a rock. He's a fascist. He's this. We have to save our democracy. I mean, the Russo's army is amazing shit. And I'm going to say it again. I'm not talking about people who so-called ghetto. I'm not talking about people who are illiterate. I'm not talking about motherfuckers who ain't graduated, who dropped out of school. I'm talking about people who got degrees, who call themselves intelligent. They intellectuals that they can sit and have an intellectual conversation and use all the colloquialisms and the huge jargons and the long 20-letter words and terminology to do what? To impress upon others about themselves. Even them. It's like a mechanic. Of course, you know, a mechanic like shit, you know, you take your car to a mechanic, you'd be like, turn your key. And just by you turning your key in his ear, oh, that's your starter. You'd be like, wow, you know. Yeah, you're going to be, of course, he's a grease monkey. Shit, he know every facet of that engine because he wants to know it. That's why he could tell. And so you see the shit, the same strategy. They used this when this pig Wilson became president, Woodrow Wilson. They used the same shit. They had to put somebody in there that was going to pass their Federal Reserve bill, right? It was actually the Warburg Act or something like that from one of the old white Jewish imperialist families in finance and in banking and credit and control and everything else, right? And they wanted to set up a Federal Reserve Bank so they can pretty much run everything. What is the Treasury? Nothing. I can't make this shit. Look up Federal Reserve in your yellow pages and watch and see what it reads. Who owns it? But it's the same strategy. So those Europeans back then, they actually had some idea about this cabal, you know, this secret cabal that was operating behind the scenes to try to take over shit. They was hip to it. It's like 100 years ago, right? And they was hip to the shit. So it failed the first time. They're like, oh, we ain't having that. You know, we gave y'all a charter. The charter is up. So there's no more of that bank shit. It's a trust. So they said, well, look, we got to come up with something else. So what did they do? I said, okay, well, look, we're going to put our man up in there, and we're going to talk about him like a dog. We're going to talk about him like a dog. Because we can't talk about him. We can't shower praise on him because the American people hate us. They hate us. They can't stand our fucking guts. So we're going to put our man up in there, but we're going to talk about him like a dog. So if we talk about him like a dog, the American people will elect him. And when he gets in office, he's going to pass the Federal Reserve Act. That's how we're going to get it done. Because they couldn't do it the normal way. Oh, well, shit. We're going to vote for him. We're going to get him in there. No, it ain't working. It ain't working. So who was it? Woodrow Wilson. He had a handler called Edward Mandel House. Edward Mandel House is no more than a goddamn British agent. And there's another group, the Bilderberg. You know, these are names that I would so-called these won't even dare mention, not even whisper out of their own mouths. But there's a house, a descendant that's up in that group. She's a female. But that's how they was able to do it. To get in control of the currency. You know, the deal with other nations, the exchange rate, interest rates and everything, your house, your car, everything, keep you in debt, keep you from being able to live in certain communities, hold you hostage. Real shit. And so that's the same classic move. To do what? You get all these people and you get them to the mountaintop. Right, you get them up there, and then you just pull the rug out from underneath. The question is, why did DeSantis drop out then? If what I'm saying is some bullshit. And then put his weight behind Trump. You went around the whole country talking about him like a dog. And now what? And so you got this white girl, Nikki Haley. Who is she? What's our background? All in on this shit together. You can literally listen to Biden when he's speaking. I mean, a 10-year-old child can see that this man is full of shit. But you know why he does it? Because it still works. It still works. Anybody with an ounce of fucking sense can listen to this old cracker. And a cracker is no more, no less than the white man who used to whip black men with that fucking whip. And now he's just whipping you by other means. That's what a cracker is. Black people ain't been using these words loosely. Black people develop these words as a result of a irreconcilable relationship with the white ruling class, with the white male patriarchal structure, which in effect ends up affecting black women even worse, especially under patriarchy. And that's why these white women started the feminist move. That's why they talk all this shit about some Susan B. Anthony and put her on the 50 Cent piece or whatever it was, That's why they had to do that. But you check their portfolio. There's a book called None Dead, Called a Conspiracy. A little small book you can stick in your back pocket. I heard about this book, for a while. You know, and I heard other people who did investigative journalism, who did their homework, who got behind the scenes. There's a book called The Best Democracy That Money Can Buy, right? By Greg Palast. Now, to my understanding, he had to move to London. He had to move to Great Britain in order to be able to do you know, what he wanted to do. I guess to publish, to write, you know, to, you know, whatever. But there have been, you know, some one or two white boys who moved out the country as a strategy to tell the truth. They got a white boy who moved to Japan and would do these pieces, you know, it'd be like 30 minutes, sometimes an hour. And I'm talking about exposing all kind of stuff, right? And he moved to Japan to do it. You know, but he had a whole thing. And he says, if you want to really know and understand what it's all about, if you want to really know and tell if there's really a difference between the Democrats and Republicans, all you got to do is just look at the stock exchange. He said, go look at the stock exchange. Go look at the Dow Industrial Average. Go look at the S&P. Go look at the NASDAQ. If you want to see if there's a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, so all you got to do is just check that. Look at their portfolios. Here you had this white boy, what is his name? Oh, man, oh, shit. Oh, Mitt Romney, right? You read Mitt Romney. Here Mitt Romney is sitting here at running on this ticket about bringing jobs home, right? The same tactic that Trump is using, right? Here you got Mitt Romney going in on all these people trying to you know, persuade, you know, what they say, winning the hearts and minds of the people, right? So Mitt Romney is talking about local this, local. And guess what? He got overseas shit going himself. But you know why he did it? Because he figured, you're not going to go read that. You're not going to go find it. You're not going to go investigate because you don't have the wherewithal, because you don't have the IQ to do it. You're not smart enough to even think it. You're the sheeple. You take what I give you, and you don't question it. I'm just like the doctor that you just went to see because your stomach was hurting, and he's the expert on it. He gave you a prescription, and you went and got it. That's the same shit. So they was going in on Trump and his dealings. Now look, here Hunter Biden shows up unexpectedly at this kangaroo thing. And here you get this white woman up in there. This whole stage is entertainment for your ass. And what does that white woman do? She pulls a feminist move. Are women allowed to speak in here? I mean, it's staged. But again, because you're not smart enough, but you're smart when it comes to who led the NFL in Russia, who had the highest quarterback rating for the year. You're smart enough to debate who should the NFL MVP be. You know the whole shebang about LeBron James's career. You know all that shit. You can rap every lyric of what's her face, Megan Thee Stallion. You know every lyric. Hell, you even know her dance moves. The little girls is copying that when they get a chance to hear some music. You know all of that. You know all the Transformers characters, their names, and all that shit. You know all of it. But the one thing you don't know is that. And this is an old Aristotelian philosophy about the haves and the have-nots. The eggheads who were born by the gods to rule the rest. So you're not paid to think. You're paid to do. Perform with your hands and your feet. Because if you think, that's insubordination. That's what that is. And if that don't work, then goddamn it, you got a price. Come on in. I know you want it. You can have everything that you've always dreamed about. And then they turn right back around and say what? Well, first of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like the little dude, C.J. Stroud. Young dude. And when you listen to him, it's something about that that actually make you know that he really, really, really believes that. I mean, he, you know, it's not a display. And he could be thinking his Lord and Savior, because you know why? He made it through that fucking game without getting a fucking injury, life-threatening injury, or just a injury that put him in a wheelchair the rest of his life. He made it through four quarters of a brutal game that's described in every play as war. When they scored first, what did that nigga say? He said, oh, the Texans have drawn first blood. Then he come back and throw a 75-yard pass for a touchdown. They call it a what? A 75-yard strike. A bomb. And you expect the young people to be all right, to be cool? You expect them to be normal? Like H. Rap Brown said, violence is American as apple pie. There ain't but two forms of violence. Oppressive violence and revolutionary violence. You can ask old stinking George Washington, the rapist. That, he believed in the same thing. And they got a holiday name for him. They got what's called George Washington Day and the 4th of July. It is an amazing display. And black people, you ain't going to be able to stay neutral. That's not the way it works. Because you see right now in Africa, the young people's like, look, all you old niggas got to go. All you old butt-licking ass niggas got to go. We ain't doing that shit no more. Get out. And when you get out, your handlers and your masters got to go too. You see what's taking place in Niger, Mali, and all that shit. And you see they told the French, get out. We don't care who you are. And that's in the spirit of Lumumba. Patrice Lumumba. The brilliant young revolutionary-minded brother who became the leader of his people in the Congo. And the Belgians had to go. And what did they do? They created chaos and murdered him and dismembered his body after murdering him. And they got a nigga who looked just like him to do. And this same nigga became the ruler of the Congo all the way up until the 90s. Some nigga named Mobutu, who to my understanding, sons used to come to New York and shop and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. They had condos and every goddamn thing. So you ain't gonna be able to stay neutral, not even here. There's alignments that's taking place. And things that are being exposed And some of us have accepted the possibility of being harmed physically. We've accepted. Like this brother named O'Neill Bosley Jr., who just got word today, as a matter of fact, who was kidnapped by the pigs in Baton Rouge, or what they pronounce as Iberville. We say Iberville Parish. And here's a brother, you know, he reminds of us of another brother when we were forming members of the New Black Panther Party, one of the formations of New Black Panther Party, King Samir, you know, and revolutionary to the core, black power revolutionary to the core, you know, who has accepted his lot in the cesspool and the liberation struggle and what he's been through. And so, you know, some of us have gotten off the grid, or, you know, we've gone, you know, like some people go holistic, or they go plant-based, you know, away from artificial foods and eating meat and whatnot, you know. And so here's a brother who been in Louisiana, been, you know, exposing. there's a, and I want to... Let me see if I can pull this up right quick. We got a few minutes. First of all, you know, they kidnapped this brother, and he do these live pieces, you know, like a lot of people doing, you know, and they kidnapped this brother. And so, you know, we spoke with, you know, people who were close with him, and we even had our men's communication try to make some phone calls. You know, how you kidnap somebody and you don't know the charge. What is being charged with? You say that this is democracy. You say that this is public information. You go online, you can't see shit. So what is that? Now, let me tell you what they used to do that at. They used to do that in Germany, and they did it in Italy, and they called Mussolini fascists. What's the difference? You tell me. What's the difference? But he has a Facebook page, I think. And he goes by the name of Zorro Bosley, you know. You know, and so here's his mission statement, and I love it. It says, called by the Most High God to expose how the Antichrist manifests through government. Let me read that one more time. Called by the Most High God to expose how the Antichrist manifests through government. And so you got this pig, right? Landry, who won the governorship. In real time, in real terms, the CEO of the Corporation of Louisiana, which has its own state constitution. And so he posts newspaper clippings or whatnot, and talking about how Landry, you know, he pushing for the death penalty. You know, so I guess push for the death penalty that make white folk, upper class, middle class white folk much safer. And so he puts this on there. And from what I'm told, the pigs come, and I believe he's at one of the fast food places or something, because he had his phone doing lives, and they kidnap him. And something about this pig had got some death threats. Pig Landry had got some death threats. So we're like, okay, what's that got to do with him? So this is a political vendetta. No more, no less than what they did to Black Panther Party leadership in the 60s. So we have a political prisoner situation, a prisoner of war. And he even said it, that they're trying to take me to, I think, was it St. Gabriel or something. And he said it himself, to kill me. Because he's been brave enough to stand up like a fucking black man. And so we salute that brother. And we just wanted to, mention that, you know, for those who got the time or would take the time, you know, call these state officials, the state capitol, and inquire about this brother's whereabouts and his well-being. Because in an isolation tactic, they will murder him. And for the record, it is Landry who has given out the death threat to those who are being held as POWs and unpoliticized pandas on death row. And one of the elders, members of the New Orleans chapter of the Black Panther Party, had already said. He had already said. So we out of here. Black Power, All Power to the People, In Defense of People Radio, brought to you by People's Political Party. I'm one of your hosts, Chad Manette, and my co-host, Brother Motherland, National Minister of Defense, and our engineer on the ones, twos, assault technician, Sister Aminos Oshun, Minister of Communication, and we will be black next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We out.
Casualties of war. Casualties of war. As I approach the barricade, where's the enemy? Who the one made? Full of a chest, one full of food, best grip. Take it out of your plane with a bag full of clips. Cause I got a family to wait for my return. To get back home is my main concern. I'ma get back to New York and walk.